Now, DOJ's decision to award reward application is not appealable. See, they don't want to get into all the SEC litigation that comes under their regs. Their program mirrors the whistleblower program from the SEC, but they don't want to have all the litigation relating to that.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. This is Michael Volkoff. Hope you're having a great holiday weekend. This is Labor Day, recording another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today, we're going to talk about DOJ's new corporate whistleblower plan and the impact that it's going to have in terms of accelerating corporate criminal enforcement. I mean, DOJ is definitely feeling the pressure and the heat. Corporate criminal enforcement numbers are down, not just the FCPA, but in general, white-collar crime enforcement is down. Now, DOJ, in fairness, has been emphasizing individual prosecutions, and that is definitely something that we've seen, particularly in the FCPA area. But criminal prosecutions, when they're done properly, they take time, particularly against a company. And every federal prosecutor knows that when you win your case, we used to always say at the grand jury, in the investigation phase, cutting corners then means greater risk of failure. So in recognition of the success of federal whistleblower programs like the SEC's whistleblower program, DOJ has now joined the ranks of many federal agencies. But remember, DOJ already has vast experience with whistleblowers in the civil fraud area, that being the False Claims Act, where you have, they're called QITAM relators. And DOJ is extending this expertise now into corporate criminal enforcement. And this is a big sea change. And we could see real tangible results. Once you put money on the table and offer it to them and the potential for financial recoveries, the government is likely to secure more information and launch more investigations. It's a simple fact of life. Incentives often translate into results. So on August 1st, DOJ issued its whistleblower policy pilot program. This is a 3-year pilot program. And the new program amends its corporate enforcement policy. And they also issued program guidance, a fact sheet, frequently asked questions, and then a dedicated website. And this is going to run for three. The program will run for 3 years. The money laundering and asset recovery section is going to administer it. And they will reward individuals who provide original information. A lot of their sort of pronouncements line up well with the SEC program, except this is not an enforceable program. In other words, you can't bring lawsuits against DOJ and claim you should have been entitled to this, that, and the other. They are protecting themselves from that. So in other words, if you provide original information in writing that results in a criminal or civil forfeiture, not a prosecution, a forfeiture, exceeding $1 million in net proceeds, and that could be from a corporate criminal resolution, being an NPA, DPA, or let's say a plea, or civil forfeiture action involving foreign corruption, domestic bribery, financial institution crimes, and healthcare fraud related to private insurance, filling a gap there with regard to private insurance. Now, DOJ's decision to award reward application is not appealable. See, they don't want to get into all the SEC litigation that comes under their regs. Their program mirrors the whistleblower program from the SEC, but they don't want to have all the litigation relating to that. So the defined offenses for which the new program applies includes the FCPA, the Foreign Extortion Act, AML laws involving privately held companies and non-issuers of U.S. securities. In other words, AML laws involving privately held companies. Perhaps the headline from this is, if you're privately held now, your risks are definitely going up. Certain crimes relating to financial institutions, including money laundering and fraud, domestic corruption relating to bribery and kickbacks to federal, state, and local officials, and healthcare fraud schemes targeting private insurers not subject to the False Claims Act. Because if it's a federal insurer like Medicare, Medicaid, then you're going to be covered by the False Claims Act. Only individuals are eligible. In other words, companies and law firms are not eligible to report allegations. A law firm may submit a concern on behalf of a whistleblower before requiring direct engagement. Individuals may be disqualified if the person receives an award from another whistleblower program. And the person obviously can't be affiliated with DOJ or can't be from law enforcement. And the person cannot be a foreign official, foreign government official. Additionally, an individual may be disqualified for the program if the person meaningfully participated in the criminal activity, and that's going to be subject to determination. If the person played only a minimal role and they use the sentencing guideline definition of minimal participant, the individual could still be eligible for a recovery. Company personnel and consultants who are employed by a company, like an accountant, compliance professional, and receive information due to their roles as their director, officer, or other fiduciaries are not eligible, with one significant exception, which is a big one. The audit committee or chief legal officer or chief compliance officer may be eligible if the company has the information for 120 days and has not acted on it, or there is imminent danger of criminal conduct. So you see the incentive that's created. They want to get more reports, and they'd like to get them from the audit committee, the legal officer, chief compliance officer. It's got to be 120 days after. So if the company learns of something, then they have 120 days to act on it. If they don't, then these people can then directly go to the Justice Department. So the monetary rewards is a successful forfeiture that exceeds $1 million in net proceeds. And this can be in any type of corporate criminal resolution or civil forfeiture action. The whistleblower's submission must be voluntary and truthful and complete, and they have to cooperate with the investigation by giving truthful testimony and, if requested, must engage in proactive investigations, wearing a wire or assisting in somehow undercover operations, recording telephone calls. Prosecutors will shield the whistleblower's identity to the extent practicable, and whistleblowers may engage counsel to represent them as needed. Now, DOJ applies a sliding scale for the reward. In other words, the whistleblowers may receive up to 30% of the first $100 million in net proceeds and up to 5% of any net proceeds forfeited between $100 million and $500 million. A presumption of a 30% award is applied to the first $10 million recovered in net proceeds. So that's sort of the outline of the program. It's in effect right now. It starts from August 1st, and then it goes forward from there. And basically, I think DOJ is entering the whistleblower rewards sweepstakes in a big way. The SEC has been grabbing all the headlines since their program started in 2010. But for example, let me give you some cases where it would apply. It would have applied in the $4.3 billion settlement with Binance last year if there was a whistleblower. It would have applied to the $1.2 billion settlement with Glencore for foreign bribery violations. The SEC's program did not cover these cases, and that's because they're privately owned companies. Interestingly, DOJ anticipates that corporations will invest even more in their corporate compliance programs. Like the SEC program, whistleblowers will have an incentive to report the misconduct internally and then wait for the 120 days. And DOJ amended its corporate enforcement program so that a company that receives an internal whistleblower report may be eligible to receive a non-prosecution agreement if it reports that misconduct. DOJ's incentive structure is designed to encourage companies to increase voluntary disclosures. And don't you see that 120-day window is important? By dangling the prospect of a non-prosecution agreement, companies may face an interesting quandary. If the company discovers misconduct and reports to DOJ, within 120 days of such discovery, the company may earn a presumption of a declination so long as it cooperates and implements remedial measures. Companies will be eligible for a non-prosecution agreement even if an individual reports the misconduct to DOJ, so long as the company reports the misconduct to DOJ itself within that 120 days. However, if DOJ reaches out to the company during the 120-day period and tells them we have information, indicating misconduct, then the company will not be eligible for voluntary disclosure credit and a presumption of declination. So really is trying to put the incentive on the company when they see something wrong to do something about it. This new set of factors can play out in various complicated scenarios. DOJ's whistleblower program pays homage to the 120-day internal reporting standard, similar to the whistleblower program, but at the same time pressures companies to self-report as quickly as possible. If companies fail to do so, they can be disqualified from potential benefits of voluntary disclosure. DOJ does not define precisely how much additional reward will be earned by an individual that initially reports the misconduct internally. They just say you'll get something more. Interestingly, if the company and the individual report the misconduct to DOJ within the 120-day time period, both can become eligible for benefits. The individual can earn a financial reward, and the company can earn a declination under the voluntary disclosure program. On the flip side, a whistleblower can suffer a decrease in an award if the person interferes with an entity's legal compliance or audit procedures to prevent or delay detection of the criminal violation. Companies also will suffer from DOJ enforcement actions where a company engages in retaliation against any whistleblower, including attempting to enforce confidentiality provisions against the whistleblower. Now, the new program applies only to information submitted after August 1st, 2024. In case of an FCPA enforcement action, the resolution of such cases can take several years. Most significantly, DOJ's program increases the risks for private companies that operate internationally in financial institutions not covered by the SEC program, in other words, publicly traded. In response, private companies may disclose potential violations as a way to earn a declination. One interesting other sort of wrinkle here is how this policy will interact with DOJ's merger and acquisition program, under which companies have 180 days after closing of an acquisition to disclose potential criminal violations. It's not clear that a fund consisting of forfeiture proceeds will be adequate to encourage the significant whistleblower reporting. Nonetheless, DOJ is confident that the new whistleblower program will supercharge corporate prosecutions and enforcement. And as always, the compliance admonition. So in this new era, companies would be wise to review and invest in their ethics and compliance programs. Integrate this whole sort of all of these factors so that you can truly appreciate the risk and make good decisions with regard to disclosure and how to conduct investigations. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week with another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.